Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Season 8 of The Dark Money Files, in which we shine a light into a murky world. I'm Ray Blake, and with me is my co-host friend and business partner, Graham Barrow. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Ray.
We're looking today at remediations. Why have we chosen to shine our light there?
Well, Ray, you recently put together an article for our Patreon subscriber newsletter since when we've heard of more than one major remediation exercise starting. So it seemed like a good time to bring the subject to the podcast and explore it in a bit more detail.
So here we are. Shall we start by trying to define exactly what remediation is in this context?
Well, according to the dictionary, remediation is the act of remedying or correcting something that has been corrupted or that is deficient.
And that seems to be how we use it in the industry nowadays. Remediation used to be an exceptional exercise with a specific, precise meaning. But more recently, it's become for many firms regular and routine. And the term has been used to describe both major man-year efforts and the equivalent of a quick lick of fresh paint on a wet afternoon.
Easy for you to say. Yes. So many projects are described these days as remediation exercises. That phrase could describe almost anything.
I think that's true, Graham. So if you're being asked to engage in or plan a remediation, it's worth spending some time identifying exactly what this particular remediation is all about.
And that means asking the right questions, analysing the requirement and the proposed response to it, and then identifying how you're going to practically implement the plan.
We will run through all those considerations and also summarise some of the key success and failure factors that we've identified, often the hard way.
Oh, yes. The hard way is not a path we've always managed to avoid. I think the first important distinction is between client remediation and KYC remediation. Client remediation is rarer and concerns situations where there may have been client detriment that needs to be investigated and probably or potentially compensated.
Yes, Graham. File remediation, on the other hand, makes no assumption of client harm, but it seeks to ensure that KYC files are brought to a particular standard, where it's known or assumed that many aren't at that standard currently.
Yeah, and that distinction is important, isn't it?
Well, yes, Graham, for many reasons, chiefly in terms of client communication. A genuine client remediation gives the client a clear incentive to engage because there may well be money in it for them.
Yes, whereas a client being asked to engage in a file remediation exercise may well think to themselves, what's in this for me? And give responding low priority to it, especially if it's going to need them to dig out details or documents that might not be immediately to hand.
Yeah, incentive is important. So you have to sell the exercise to the clients whose cooperation you're going to rely on. A balance needs to be struck, of course. Exciting a client about a payout that it transpires they don't qualify for is not going to represent great relationship management.
Yeah, and I often think back to the PPI remediations of recent years.
Well, I'm sure anyone in the UK will remember those, Graham. There was something rather unsavoury, wasn't there, about the ambulance chasing that surrounded that?
Yes, there was. It was unremitting for a while, particularly in advertising. There was a continual dangling of financial carrots by firms and latterly by claim handlers too. But if a client can see some kind of incentive to engaging in the process, it can help to make the whole project smoother.
For a pure file remediation, here it's really just about bringing KYC records up to standard, and we have to work harder to gain client cooperation. we're asking the client to inconvenience themselves to provide us with information and documents so we can put our records in order, but for no appreciable benefit to them.
Yeah, this is a hard sell, and firms will work hard to find ways to gather as much of the required information as they can from public sources that don't require client outreach. Mm. This helps them maintain good client relationships while also not having to rely on existing clients' will to comply with a, well, frankly, a bothersome request.
Yeah, and because of this, it's worth spending some time thinking about who should be making any requests of customers. A standard form letter from a central department might not prove as effective as a personalised letter and, if necessary, phone follow-up from the client's dedicated relationship manager.
Yeah, and if that's going to work, you'll need the relationship managers to be on-site and on-message too. Mm. This might not be a popular exercise with clients, and RMs must be able to articulate why it's happening and how complying will benefit the clients.
Another thing to think about is the reason for and purpose of the remediation, what you want to achieve and why.
Yeah, you must be able to articulate why you're remediating, both in terms of what prompted the exercise and what it hopes to achieve. It might be part of a regulatory enforcement action, of course, either just for your firm or for a group of firms. It might even be because the regulatory requirements have changed for all firms.
Yeah, conversely, this might be a self-identified issue without an external regulatory driver.
Or to prevent one, right?
Well, indeed. Or it may just be to support a change in your own procedures or systems. What prompted the exercise will have an impact on how you conduct it and what you set as your objective.
And how do you make sure everyone understands this fundamental driver for the remediation, Ray?
There has to be a clearly articulated terms of reference, Graham, and that should include the reasons for the exercise, precisely what's covered and what isn't, what outputs the exercise should produce, and the processes in place to measure the quality of those outputs.
And that really is important, isn't it? I mean, for example, one of the requirements might be to reassess the nature of the client relationship, and that could potentially lead to the filing of a SAR. Mm. So that's very different from simply updating the KYC to bring it in line with, say, new policy requirements.
Absolutely. Although at a fundamental level, any issue which could be a sign of possible criminality ought to result in a SAR.
Completely agree, Ray. But a full client review, which included, say, looking at past transactional activity, is far more likely to produce a very different result than a simple updating of the core KYC.
You're absolutely right, of course.
And then there is something else we often see too. It's the special case of remediation that's growing in popularity, and it is the ring fencing and then the clearing of review backlogs.
If a firm is sitting on a growing backlog of overdue periodic reviews, the natural inclination is to complete the most overdue ones first. But that pretty much guarantees that more and more fresh cases will also fall behind.
So, firms choose sometimes to reset their business-as-usual teams to engage on the files now falling due and carve out the backlog for a separate team to work through.
Now, this isn't really a traditional remediation because there's no special action required. It's just a catching up exercise. It gets seen often as a remediation because it's treated as a project and managed in similar ways.
So if we've got our nature and purpose clear and we've communicated to the people in the firm who will need to support the exercise, can we make a start?
Well, nearly, Graham. First, we've got to identify the client population. Is it everyone in the client base or just a particular group or type of clients? Or do we actually have to undertake an exercise to identify who is and who isn't in scope?
And after that, we should model the processing and completion of the remedial work, or the project decisions subsequently made rely on this step being done accurately.
Yeah, so, for instance, how many clients are in scope? What are the data points or documents that need to be gathered? Do all cases present the same challenges, or does the risk-based approach mean some cases are more involved than others?
There's some math to do for the modelling to set this all out in terms of the different people that need to be involved.
And typically, who are those people? What are the roles, Graham?
Well, the largest group is highly likely to be the case handlers, the people who actually perform the remediation operations. Then you have quality checkers, perhaps team leaders, as well as the overall managers.
And you'll need to factor in the time, office space, equipment, HR and support services.
Yeah, now some of these factors might be fixed. You might not be able to flex the finish time. They may be, for example, a hard regulatory deadline that you just have to meet.
Or there might be a limited pool of skilled people.
And if so, if there are immovable constraints, what does that mean for the variable factors? The model needs to be flexible so that actual experience can lead to remodelling and bottlenecks and delays can be headed off proactively.
These are all the things that need to be considered before opening the first case file. But of course, the challenges don't end there.
They certainly do not, Ray. There are very definitely things you should try to do and others you should try very, very, very hard not to do.
Some do's and don'ts, as it were.
Well, yeah. So let's start with some do's then.
Yeah.
What are some of the things we need to do to get a good outcome?
Well, first of all, it sounds obvious, but you should take the time to draw up detailed procedures that, if followed closely, will actually repair the problem that has been identified.
Yeah, you're right, Ray, and it does sound obvious, but that doesn't mean it's always done.
Yeah, very true. Even if your existing procedures describe the requirements that you need to meet, it's worth producing a remediation-specific manual to include aspects of the exercise like deduplication of KYC documents and remediation sign-off that won't be parts of the normal KYC procedures in business as usual.
Absolutely, that is good practice.
Next, Graham, I'd make sure to allow in the modelling and staffing for sufficient management and checking staff and have some contingency upskilling.
You mean to be ready so that depending on actual progress, people can be flipped into or out of supervisory and support roles to head off those potential bottlenecks?
Exactly. Have those upskilling procedures, training, checking, authorisation, ready before you need them.
Well, that just sounds like a good idea, Ray. What else?
You should design and operate a set of key performance indicators that give feedback on quality issues as well as pure throughput numbers.
Yeah, I mean, throughput numbers are important, of course, because those will inform management of the plan and might drive the determination to add more people or other resources.
Yeah, but quality measures are important too, because there's no point in doing a poor job quickly and efficiently. You just have to do it all again.
Oh, we've seen that, haven't we, Ray?
We have. And speaking of quality measures, you should put in place both quality checking and quality assurance and recognise the difference between the two.
Yeah, quality checking should be a simple set of checks or re-performance to ensure that the procedures have been undertaken and completed as specified. Quality assurance, however, is a broader consideration of a case that looks beyond the procedures to assess whether the remediation desired has actually resulted. It is this stage, and it's often omitted, that can detect flaws or shortcomings in the procedures or programme design themselves.
That's very true. Next, think about communication. Have a well thought out comms programme that covers the before, during and after phases of the exercise. It should detail in client focused terms why this is happening, why the client should engage in the process, what's going to be required of them and then what's going to happen afterwards.
And even at stages when there is nothing specific to say, keep involved clients on side by keeping the communication going, even if it comes down to, we haven't got to you yet, but we haven't forgotten you.
Yeah, that's so often not done, and it's a recipe for client dissatisfaction.
We've touched a little on training. It's a big part of the programme, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and you need to plan and undertake a comprehensive training programme for those involved in the remediation exercise and for those who aren't involved but are affected nonetheless.
Okay, have you got an example, Ray?
Well, yeah, the general helpline staff in your organisation might get queries from clients about the remediation programme. And if the helpline staff don't know about it, this is likely to further aggravate the client.
Well, so it is, yeah. We've identified a few common errors that you'll want to carefully avoid, I think, too.
Yeah, the don'ts. Have at them, Graham.
Well, firstly, we have all seen KYC procedures that seem to value collecting paper for its own sake. And this is doubly true of file remediation exercises.
It really is.
When collecting documents and evidence onboarding, some of those papers will only become relevant when the client has begun to transact.
Yeah, and when they do, you'll then have a library of information against which to judge the client's activities in your institution.
That is right. However, when you remediate, your client has already been transacting, so there needs to be a look back at that activity in the light of the information you are now adding to the file.
So, if all you're doing in the remediations is collecting paper and filing it, that isn't good enough.
I would say not, Ray. And then there's the deduping issue that can often arise.
Yeah, now we've mentioned that already. What does it mean, Graham?
Well, keeping everything you collect alongside the existing records is a common approach, but that means you end up with two versions of some things, one of which will then be defunct. But months from now, it might not be clear which one is the current one immediately.
And that's going to swell the file and slow things down, potentially for years to come.
Yes. So the best time to resolve those problems is now, before they happen. So you should take care to deduplicate your KYC files as they expand through remediation.
Okay. Anything else, Graham? What else do firms get wrong?
Ray, too many remediation exercises we've seen fail to do anything about the actual issues that prompted the remediation. It's so easy to perpetuate the errors of the past. To coin a phrase, if nothing changes, nothing will change.
And if you always do what you've always done, then you'll always get what you always got.
Let me complete the hat trick, Ray. Einstein said... Yes, Einstein says so many things, yeah. But in this instance, he said, the problems of today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking that created them in the first place.
Yeah, the great thinkers all seem to be aligned on this one, don't they? But what does it mean for how we remediate, Graham?
Well, for me, it means there is a need to take time to think about what created the perceived problem in the first place and make sure that when you remediate, the same problem will not still be a feature of the process.
Everyone thinks they know how to properly do client due diligence, but if you thought that before and ended up with substandard KYC records, you do at least need to revisit your understanding and work out why it went wrong. And then come up with changes that mean it won't fail this time too.
Very wise words, Ray.
Well, I'm very much standing on the shoulders of giants here, Graham.
Indeed. But there's a telltale sign for me, and one that we see far too often, that remediations are not being well performed. And that's where we see client files that have clearly been through multiple remediations in a fairly short period of time.
Yeah, sometimes we find firms embarking on a new remediation programme even before the previous one's finished.
Yeah, that must be so dispiriting, Ray.
Well, we know that it is, Graham. But there is a choice that firms face, isn't there?
Yes, there is. I always say that firms can choose between doing it properly or doing it frequently.
And that's a great closing thought. So, what's next?
It would be remiss of us as we were recording this to ignore the fact that the Pandora Papers have just been released. And I know that we were going to go and look back at how you should adjust financial crime controls, and we will do that. But I think we might just slip in between that a little podcast about Pandora Papers.
I think the people expect it, Graham.
I think they probably do, Ray.
And I, for one, am looking forward to it.
So am I.